Become a member of the Movie Geeks United family. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/moviegeeksunite, Facebook at facebook.com/moviegeeksunited, YouTube at youtube.com/moviegeeksunited, or bookmark our website at moviegeeksunited.net. And you can also access our entire library of programs, including more than 600 filmmaker interviews, right here on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/moviegeeksunited.
One day, the storm's gonna go, the ground's gonna sink, and the water's gonna rise up so high, there ain't gonna be no bathtub, just a whole bunch of water.
How can I hold that all men are created equal, and here before me stands, stinking, the moral carcass of the gentleman from Ohio, proof that some men are inferior?
You ever take Klonopin?
Klonopin, yeah.
Right?
What?
Yeah. What day is it?
What you said was that this is my world. And in my world, you gotta get dirty. So that's what I'm doing. I'm getting dirty.
Well, this one's got an MA in English. She should be your screenwriter. Sometimes they go along on scouts because they want the free meals. Here's your director.
You teach somebody to be a director in a day?
You teach a rhesus monkey to be a director in a day.
What else have you done for us besides Bin Laden?
I've done nothing else.
Welcome to our annual Oscar prediction show. This is a very exciting show for us year after year. And let me bring on my co-host, Jerry and Dean. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good to have you with us.
Yeah,
are you excited?
Yes.
I'm excited.
I want to hear more excitement in your voice, guys.
Come this on. Is the most unpredictable. This may be the most unpredictable Oscars, unlike last year or the year before. I actually think we actually have a real race here.
It really
yeah,
does
do.
Feel like that. It feels like an open field. Absolutely. Speaking of an open field, that's not a great segue, but we're so excited because we have another panelist joining us this year, and it's the first time he's been on our panel, but he's been a guest many, many times for private conversations between him and myself, and our listeners love him. I adore him. He sat across from everyone from Alfred Hitchcock to Robert Altman to John Wayne. He is amazing, a great film critic. You can read his film criticism at tonymacklin.net. Tony, are you with us?
Oh, you're talking about me.
Well, they're not talking about me, Tony, that's for sure. So.
Well, I'm afraid I'm a little different from your colleagues. I think it's fairly predictable this year, and I
can I ask you how so? Are you?
Yeah, it seems to me that Lincoln is now a heavy favorite. It's going to win a certain three. And maybe four, and it could win five.
Okay,
of the major,
I agree with you, Tony. I agree with you, but I'm hoping maybe, just maybe. But you are absolutely right. I think if we were sitting here that Monday morning, I would say yeah. I mean, I think how should I say it? Lincoln at the time did not seem like the safe choice when you're watching it, but at the end of the season, you're like, wow, Lincoln is the safest movie that's nominated.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I think it
There are a couple things. That Lincoln is one of those films that nobody who's seen a movie in a year has gone to see it. It's tapped into that audience. Mm. If you ask an older audience, have you seen any movies? No. Well, have you seen Lincoln yet? Oh, yeah, I like that. That was good. It's reached out, and it seems to be, you know, it was at Gettysburg, it was at the White House, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with you. I live for surprises and upsets and underdogs. I just don't see it this year.
Let me ask you a question, though. Do you think we're looking at a replay of the year of Gandhi? I mean, because this is the closest thing we have to a Gandhi.
I don't think personally that it's going to get to be, you know, win 8 Oscars or whatever.
No, it might not, but
going.
I think it's that kind of film, though. It's
it
that,
is, but
it
I
is a safe.
It,
Gandhi
know,
is the safest. Do you? Let me ask you this. After 1982 or 83, honestly, does anyone say, oh, my God, I just watched Gandhi. It's the greatest movie of all time. No, they don't. I mean, I'm sorry. Look, I like, and it's got a great cast. Don't get me wrong, but really? I mean, did you just go buy Gandhi a Blu-ray and, like, I
well,
love
what,
that scene?
Well, what did Gandhi beat?
E.T.
Oh, I see. Well,
yeah.
Actually, Richard Attenborough himself said it was crazy. They should have given it to E.T. I mean, he said E.T. is like a life changer. A
yeah, I mean.
Okay, the nominees for Best Documentary Feature are Searching for Sugar Man, How to Survive a Plague, The Gatekeepers, 5 Broken Cameras, and The Invisible War. So, Tony, you're feeling that the buzz is heavily in Gatekeeper's favor at this point, right?
And I'm purely going on buzz on this one.
Okay.
You know, it's been mentioned over and over again. It's on a wave.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen them all. I saw a lot of documentaries this year that I liked. I certainly liked Searching for Sugar Man.
I did
but
too.
But
yeah.
I really agree with my fellow here that it's a little difficult to talk about things we haven't seen. I was just introducing that as somebody who's going to be at home and pick all the Oscars. We give them at least a lean on that one, on that category.
Well, with this category, honestly, the Gatekeepers, in terms of subject matter, I mean, it does feel like major Oscar material.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of a more intimate kind of portrait, I do love Searching for Sugar Man. But that is my favorite documentary of the year. But there's also How to Survive a Plague.
I think that's the front runner.
Which is about the AIDS activists that really pushed the issue front and center with their lives and made it a movement and got some treatments going. Really stunning, stunning emotional movie. And so, Jerry, you think How to Survive the Plague?
I think that one, listening, you know, watching Chris Hayes up, you know, they've talked a lot about that one. But I do agree with Tony. I think The Gatekeepers is definitely, I mean, as far as buzz goes, I mean, we keep hearing about that one. I mean, I think Searching for Sugar Man obviously is the most popular out of the 5. I think we can agree with that this year of what's nominated. That's the
most telling comment of this was that Chris Hayes actually has a listener.
Well, he has the best show on TV. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the best show on MSNBC.
No, it's a good show, but I don't think the Academy members rise early in the morning out here to listen to Chris Hayes.
No, they don't. Oh no, God. I don't even think, you know, as much as conservatives would like to say that everyone in Hollywood watches MSNBC, I don't think they know what channel it's on, if you want to know the God's honest truth.
But there's also The Invisible War.
That's another – all these. 5 Broken Cameras, too, I've heard a lot about.
Yeah. Dean, where do you fall on this category?
I'm going with Searching for Sugar Man. I've seen 3 out of the 5, so – and, you know – I like The Invisible War quite a bit, and I think that's an important subject. It has you know a lot to do with what we're going through at this particular moment in this country. I agree that The Gatekeepers and 5 Broken Cameras, both which deal with the same part of the world and the same subject matter in a lot of ways, are the most politically driven films in the bunch, but this category hasn't been, you know, over the past few years hasn't been necessarily the most political of categories. I mean, you know, you had March of the Penguins win a few years ago, so I'm going for Searching for Sugar Man because it's just.
Did you realize that those penguins were unionized?
Weren't they communists?
they get extra for wearing their tuxedos 24 hours a day.
You know what though? I mean, it is the audience favorite. The movie makes you feel just completely refreshed when it ends in a way that none of these others do. And there's something about buzz. you know, we see it every year where we can predict what will be best picture. I mean, we can say, oh, this has all the heat. But in the month between the nomination announcement and the actual awards being given out, that temperature kind of switches to another film a lot of
right.
time.
Oh, you're right.
And we have more of a lag time between nominations and the actual awards ceremony than ever before. I mean, we have a month and a half now, and that's rare.
And we have tonight to take into consideration, too. I mean...
Yeah, the Golden Globes. But yeah. they don't see any of the movies, so...
No, they don't.
Did they give a documentary award at the Golden Globes? I've forgotten now.
They do. Yeah, they do.
They do? Okay. Yeah. Well, I know for Sugar Man just won the other night for the Critics' Choice Award.
Well, that's true, yeah.
I would like to bring up
a very important, and I know we've said this in our history of the show, we've always bring up this point. There is a huge, and Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you think there's a huge chasm in between all these Critics Associations Awards and the Oscars? I mean, it's two different mindsets at work here, I think.
Well, in the Golden Globes, we know if they get gifts... that's what they're voting for.
If they tell me to pay my taxes, I'm all for them. I mean, I'll help whoever's helping me. But I think people seem to think, though, and I've noticed this over the years, if all these critic associations are voting this way, then the Oscars will go this way. And no, it's a totally different mindset.
Well,
though.
Yeah, I mean, critics aren't part of the Academy voting.
Yeah, but
I
realize that. But people seem to think, though. I mean, I think there are people outraged that Rachel Weisz didn't get nominated for Deep Blue Sea or things of that nature. And it's just a totally different mindset, I think. And people have got to – I'm surprised people haven't gotten that. That hasn't come across yet.
It's
I
true.
Think critical
it
organizations are trying to give voice. I'm a member of the Las Vegas Film Critics Society, and they picked, of all things, Life of Pi. They were the only organization that picked Life of Pi, and I'm sure that the members liked it, but I think they wanted also to be unique or to be original. And so there's so much. One of the problems, I think part of the fun has gone out of it, because before the Oscars, you almost know, because it's been on the web and it's been on offshore betting, you almost know what is going to be picked
right.
before it is chosen.
Right. Now that's you got a very good you make a very good point. Although I don't have a problem with Life of Pi. I'm glad to see it getting and I sort of knew because Ang Lee seems to be a favorite, although taking Woodstock or whatever that was didn't really find much love when that
it
came
didn't
out.
Take much. It didn't take Woodstock.
No,
okay. Next category. Best costume design, the nominees are Anna Karenina. Les Miserables, Lincoln, Mirror Mirror, the Academy Award nominated Mirror Mirror, and Snow White and the Huntsman. So you have like two Snow White movies on here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would ever thought? I would never dawned on me that
Mirror Mirror.
I'm waiting for the Snow White movie where she doesn't wear clothes.
Well, I can let you borrow that.
I think that was made in the
70s.
I'm not sure.
That was in episode of Eight Is Enough, if I'm not mistaken. But okay.
Okay, so Dean, what do you think? Best costume design?
You know, they all often go out on their own, and so I'm just going to go ahead and say Anna Karenina. And out of, you know, it's possible that Mirror Mirror might get in there for the Japanese lady, Iko, I can't pronounce her last name, but who passed away. And she also won an Oscar for the costumes for Bram Stoker's Dracula. But, you know, after watching Anna Karenina this week, you know, it's pretty stunning visually, and costume design is definitely in its quarter.
Do you think this is the one award that it will get?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's possible that it might get production design, too. Very, very possible, because it does have an inventive production design. But
I'm with you. I'm actually predicting Anna Karenina, too. Jerry, what do you think?
I agree with both of you about this, and I think because visually, it's this film, this is where its strengths are visually. It's a flat movie. But visually, this is where I think it has a chance. But I think the Snow White movies cancel themselves out, and no one really cares. They're just up there because, you know, let's put some kids from the short bus on there. So those are both on there for that reason.
But you know what? I mean, the fantasy realm, it's either historical drama, which you have three here,
mm-hmm.
or the fantasy realm.
But
the Snow White.
You have two. There's a very strong. This is given out early, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Okay.
Early in the night, yeah.
You have two movies here, and we talk about safe movies. You have two of the safest movies on here, Lincoln and Les Mis. If one of these two gets it, then we are looking at a. You know, the part of me says they might give it to Lincoln. If we're looking at that kind of night.
As part of the sweep.
Part of the sweep. But Les Mis is the other film that I would take into consideration also, because this is also a very, you know, costume design, and it's popular, it's done well. They may give it to this.
Okay.
Although I do think visually Anna is a stunning film. And
okay.
I do think you need to give it, it needs to be recognized for something. Although whoever, as I said, whoever cut that trailer, he deserves an Oscar.
Because he made it a lot more exciting than the movie.
Yeah.
So, Tony, what do you think?
Anna Karenina.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that was an exciting category.
Yeah.
Best cinematography is our next one. Skyfall, Anna Karenina, Django Unchained. Oh, God bless Robert Richardson.
Thank you.
Life of Pi and Lincoln. Jerry, what do you think here?
You have four excellent cinematographers. I'm not that familiar with Samus McGarvey. I think, you know, don't get me wrong, Anna's a beautiful film, but I love Claudia Miranda. It's a beautiful film. Lincoln, it's standard Kaminsky Spielberg thing. This is between Deakins and Richardson as far as I'm concerned. Skyfall is the most beautiful James Bond film ever filmed. Django Unchained is the ultimately most beautiful Tarantino film ever made. I'm going with Richardson here.
So you think he could win 2 years in a row?
I'd love
if he did. I mean,
I want him to win. If Deakins won, I would think that's fine. But I really think, because Django got the shaft in one major category, and I think it has to be made up for, and I think this is the one where it's got to go. Because it is a beautiful film. It's the one thing that you and I realize, you know, with also Roger Deakins' work with Skyfall, it is the most beautiful James Bond film I think we've ever seen. I think we can all agree on that.
Oh, that Shanghai sequence alone is gorgeously filmed.
Oh, yeah. But there's something about Richardson's work. And I'm not just saying this, Jamie, because it is the greatest interview that we've ever, you know, I think the Robert Richardson interview is the greatest thing we've ever had. I really do think that front and center. But I just think in all of Tarantino's films, and even more so than Glorious, I just think this is a beautiful film.
It's stunningly photographed. And look, I wrote him to compliment him, like, right after I saw it. And he wrote back and said, you know, Tarantino, what he can do on a budget, you know, the kinds of movies that he's able to make, it's amazing. And even, you know, I think of one of the great shots of the year, and it's that blood splatter on the top.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and just a shot that says so much.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, looking at this, I'm thinking Life of Pi obviously is a visual feast.
Oh yeah,
that's
going to
win.
Don't get me wrong.
You think that'll win, Tony?
This is the category where I have the most rooting interest. Roger Deakins, this is his 10th nomination, and he has never won.
Mm-hmm.
In 2008, he ran against himself. He had the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford,
mm-hmm.
and he also had No Country for Old Men, which
right.
he probably would have won if he didn't have two films up. He lost to Elswit for There Will Be Blood. So I would love to see him win. He's the one every year that I strongly, it's his time, and I'm afraid he might be like Peter O'Toole. He gets the Peter O'Toole Award every single year. But my strong suggestion is that Life of Pi will win.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Here's
my concern with here's my question about Life of Pi, because there seems to be this gray area. I mean, when you're as special effects heavy as Life of Pi, there seems to be this question of, you know, how much is actually done in camera and how much is Claudio's doing and how much are the geeks sitting in front of a computer manipulating
right.
the image. But I agree with you that Life of Pi without that factor would be the front runner, because it's an amazing looking movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're entering a new world, Jamie.
That would be good, because it's going to be harder and harder to differentiate between, because, you know, that's where we are now. Dean, what do you think?
Regarding color correction, you know, in post and everything, I think I would assume that almost every one of these movies has undergone some color correction in post. So that's just that.
Yeah, I'm talking beyond color correction.
Yeah, but I
understand, but I get it. But I mean, like, I know what you're saying with the special effects and all. When you look at Life of Pi is nominated for 11 Academy Awards. It's, you know, they're not going to let it go home empty-handed. I don't think that it's going to be one of these movies that gets nominated for 11 things and doesn't win anything. So I think cinematography and maybe special effects are two of the strongest categories that it has going for it. I am going with Life of Pi. However, it would not surprise me at all if Roger Deakins gets in for Skyfall, just because it's become an embarrassment now for this branch of the Academy. And Skyfall is a beautiful movie, and it would absolutely deserve the award.
Oh,
And Roger Deakins is a master. And I'm tentatively going with Life of Pi. But Skyfall as a strong second, you know, sentimental.
I'm going with Life of Pi as well. Best visual effects: Life of Pi, The Hobbit, The Avengers, Prometheus, Snow White and the Huntsman. I'd go with Life of Pi here as well. How about you, Tony?
I'm not sure. I'm bleeding all over the place. I don't have a strong one. I like The Hobbit. But I'll go with Life of Pi, too, because my mentor says so.
Okay. Deed, what do you say?
Well, The Hobbit actually came out in the Special Effects Guild, came out with the most nominations, came out with something like 12 or 13 nominations. I'm going with Life of Pi because historically, if a film is nominated for Best Picture, and it's also nominated in visual effects, it usually wins visual effects. So.
Okay. There's also this. I mean, one of the negative criticisms of The Hobbit was that, especially when you viewed it in 48 frames per second, the effects looked unrealistic. They kind of showed
that too.
Yeah. Jerry, what do you say?
I will go with Life of Pi. I think that because when I read this book 10 years ago, I was like, how could you ever make this into a movie? And Ang Lee and all of them figured out a way to do it. And it's amazing. Now, the other film that I thank God it got some love is Prometheus, but I don't see that happening. I see this as, hey, well, let's throw Prometheus a bone, but it's Life of Pi.
If Robert Zemeckis had directed Life of Pi, they would have made the human being on the boat CGI and actually made the tiger real. It would have
We'll get Robert Zemeckis in the best acting category, okay?
All right. Yeah. Okay, best foreign language film. Let me read them and then I'll play the clip. So, best foreign language film: Amour, A Royal Affair, Kon-Tiki, No, and The War Witch. Okay, here's my question. Amour nominated for both Best Picture and Best Foreign Language Film. Does that enhance its chances of winning foreign film?
Yes.
Historically?
Yeah,
I think it does.
Yeah, okay. So, Dean, would you...
I've seen two of the films on here, so...
Did you see No, Jerry?
No, I saw A Royal Affair and a More. So.
Okay, because we have the filmmaker of No in a week or so.
Oh, sweet.
So you know they offered him to me and I didn't say no.
No, you did say no.
Yes to no. Yeah. So Dean, what do you think? Do you think it's a More?
Yeah, I mean I've seen two of the other nominees. I've seen Kentucky and Royal Affair. I just saw Royal Affair this past week. But a more has to get it. I mean, you know, it is historically, you know, I mean, the one, you know, for foreign language film when it was nominated in 69 and Life is Beautiful won a few years ago. And there might be one or two out there that were nominated for Best Picture that didn't get in for foreign language film. But on the whole, it's historically.
It's got to win for one or the other. It is the most disturbing film I've seen in a very long time. Everyone making this big stink, it's a different film for Haneke. No, it's traditional Michael Haneke. That's what makes it the even more brilliant film, is I would strongly suggest everyone see it more, just because this is what it means to grow old.
This is what
it means to grow a more. I almost walked out in the 30-minute mark because I couldn't take. I was just like, this has been my life for the last 14 years. I can't do this anymore. And my mom was the same way. But I think it's a brilliant film. But I mean,
painful to watch.
It's excruciating. I'd go through sit through the sessions again before I'd sit through it. No, but it's a good. It is. Don't mistake me. It is a brilliant film. It is a powerful film. I don't think I've ever seen a more accurate film of what it means to grow old. And the male actor who was, you know, he was in The Conformist and When a Man Loves, what is it, A Man and a Woman?
Yeah.
And also his greatest film, The Great Silence. I thought he actually was better off facing off against Kosinski in that than this. This is a far more dangerous terrain. But it's a realistic film, and I think both performances are superb.
Okay, so you give it to you give it to
one
or
the other.
Okay, so Tony, what do you think here?
Well, something for your listeners. If they're in a group and they can give everybody else the other four pictures, and they take a more to win, it is a mortal lock. Offshore, where they sometimes give the odds, you have to bet $35 to bet one. It's 1-35 favorite. I've never seen a favorite that big in sports or Oscars or anything. So it is a dead solid lock. A more will win.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I the odds, Tony. Yeah, that's great.
Where'd you get this information?
It you can check some off sites that are
okay.
Some offshore sites that I have to say this is only for information. I am not I'm not proposing. I am known occasionally to bet an M&M or two.
Okay.
the offshore does have some. You can bet offshore. The Oscars. You can't bet in this country.
Right. Okay. No, I got you.
Okay. Best Music, Original Score. Michael Dana for Life of Pi. He should be coming on our show soon. Alexander Desplat for Argo. Dario Marianelli for Anna Karenina. John Williams for Lincoln. And Thomas Newman for Skyfall. Okay, that's Michael Dana, Life of Pi, Alexander Desplat for Argo, Dario Marianelli for Anna Karenina, John Williams for Lincoln, and Thomas Newman for Skyfall. Tony, what do you think here?
Well, I really am uncertain about this, but I'm going to give it to I'm going to root for Desplat, isn't it?
Desplat, yeah.
No, I don't think it's Desplat. I think the T is silent. He probably did the music for the music I like most, or one of the top three or four, in Rust and Bone, the film that just came out. So I'm going to lean to Argo because he has two superb films this year that he did.
Okay. Jerry, what do you think?
I'm going to go just, I think because it's the 50th anniversary, I'm going to go with Skyfall. Although I do like the score for Argo very much, and I like the score for Rust and Bone a lot, too.
Well, it hasn't, Thomas Newman has never been awarded, right?
Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't know if he's never been awarded, but I really love, and I've said this many times on the show, I love the score for The Good German. I don't like the movie that much, but I love the score, and I really love the score for Skyfall. And I would just like to actually, I'd just like to see James Bond get some sort of recognition for once.
Yeah. Nadim, what do you think?
So, you know, I mean, Desplat has had such an incredible year. It would be difficult for me to not go with him. But, you know, there's also that big possibility that Life of Pi is going to get in here as well.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, even though Thomas Newman has never won, he's up there with Roger Deakins with, you know, his all-time loss list as being like 11 times. But I think that score, you know, will suffer a little bit because it leans so, like that clip that we listened to, leans so heavily on the Monty Norman theme and the John Barry, you know, orchestration. But so I think I'm going to go with Life of Pi here. Michael Dana has been in the it's his first nomination, but he's been in the business for you know, decades. And,
oh yeah.
And Desplat, you know, I think will win eventually. Obviously, he's going to, you know, he did 10 movies this year, but I'm going to go with Life of Pi.
Well, I'll tell you my favorite score out of all of these. My favorite score is Anna Karenina, actually. And not a movie that I've seen, but just based on listening to the score, I like that the most. However, I see them campaigning the hardest for Michael Dana. I mean, he's left and right doing press. So I'll give it to him. Best makeup, The Hobbit. If Tom Cruise were in that movie, they wouldn't have to do any makeup at all. I mean, he would... Les Miserables and Hitchcock. Tony, Hitchcock has a nomination here, which I know pleases you because you like the film quite a bit.
I hate to tell you, Jamie, I don't mean to be nasty here, but his performance was more than his makeup.
Right.
The makeup, I think, was serviceable,
uh-huh.
but didn't... wasn't outstanding. I wouldn't. I don't think I'd vote for the makeup. Would you?
No.
Yeah, this is the area where I think The Hobbit might get it.
Yeah, I think
yes, I do too.
This is The Hobbit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
Dean? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was easy. Best film editing: Lincoln. It could have been about 2 hours shorter. Silver Linings Playbook, Life of Pi, Argo, and Zero Dark Thirty. Interesting category. It's a tough one. Dean, what do you think?
Oh, I got it. You know, I have to, you know, it's really going to come down to, you know, William Goldenberg's nominated for both Argo and Zero Dark Thirty, which are very similar movies. But, you know, I think I'm going to have to go with my gut here and just say Zero Dark Thirty because, you know, just because of that last hour.
Yeah, yeah. Jerry, what do you say?
Well, you know, there's no doubt about it. The editing in Zero Dark Thirty is very good, especially that last hour. I would go with Argo. I really think that Argo is a tighter and better film, actually.
Okay. Well, you know, the one edited sequence that I think about most is from Argo, actually. I don't know what it's juxtaposed with, but they're sitting around a table. They're doing a kind of a stage reading of the script, and that's intercut with scenes of the turmoil in the Middle East. I forget the exact situation, but I remember as I was seeing that scene, I thought, oh, that's really superb editing to show these different worlds.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's really funny that, you know, you're getting it down to those two films, and they're both edited by the same person, but I just think Argo is a stronger film in that sense.
Okay. Tony, what do you say?
Well, I agree with what you had said about the last 45 minutes. I think that is wonderful cinema. And if the best supporting actress can go to somebody that delivers just one song, for just one song, I think this can go to the award. The award can go to this for the last 45 minutes. So I'm a strong backer of Zero Dark 30.
I think I'm going with Zero Dark 30 too. Actually, let's do best music. So here is a listen to each of these selections.
For best original song, the nominees are Before My Time from Chasing Ice, music and lyric by J. Ralph.
Cold feet don't fail me now. So much left to do. If I should run 10,000 miles home, would you be there?
Pi's Lullaby from Life of Pi, music by Michael Dana, lyric by Bombay Jayashri. Suddenly, from Les Miserables, music by Claude Michel Schoenberg, lyric by Herbert Kretzmer and Alain Boublil.
Suddenly, you're here. Suddenly, it starts. Can two anxious hearts beat as one? Yesterday I was alone, today you are beside me. Something still unclear, something not yet here, has begun.
Everybody Needs a Best Friend from Ted, music by Walter Murphy, lyric by Seth MacFarlane.
My words are lazy, my thoughts are hazy, but this is one thing I'm sure of. Everybody needs a best friend. I'm happy I'm yours. You've got a double who brings you trouble, and though you're better without me, everybody needs a best friend. I'm happy I'm yours.
And Skyfall from Skyfall, music and lyric by Adele Adkins and Paul Epworth.
This is the end. Hold your breath and count to ten. Feel the earth move and then hear my heart burst again.
Okay, a couple of good songs in there. Dean, I know that you really studied up on all the songs that qualified for the award this year, and I know that there are some obvious omissions, but out of what they chose to nominate, what do you think?
Well, you can throw Suddenly out of there, because that's just terrible. And
I agree.
Pi's Lullaby is not going to work either. Everybody Needs a Best Friend is a really nice little song, but that's not going to win. So it's really between what I think is the best song out of the five, which is Before My Time from Chasing Ice, which is absolutely beautiful, and Skyfall. And eventually I have to go with Skyfall. It would be the first, you know, I think this is where they'll recognize the importance of the series to film history, and especially to, you know, to music history, too. You know, it's been erroneously reported that this is, in numerous places I've seen, that it's the first Bond theme to be nominated for Best Song, but that's patently not true, because you had, you know, Live and Let Die by the McCartneys, and you had Hamlish doing Nobody Does It Better. And
I was going to say, that one definitely got nominated.
And you also have For Your Eyes Only. So, it's the first one nominated in quite a long time. I think, you know, people will be, you know, psyched to see Adele get up there, and so I think that that's going to be the winner.
Okay. Tony, what do you say?
He made a great case. I agree with him. Skyfall.
Me too, actually. And I'm so happy that they chose Adele, because she's got a perfect voice for a Bond song.
Oh, yeah.
She's a great choice for it, and it is a very good song, because some of those Bond songs are god-awful. But this
one actually, the one before this was horrible for Quantum of Solace.
This is actually evocative of, you know, the older Shirley Bassey kind of classics, you know.
So I wonder if Seth MacFarlane will emphasize his contribution, since he's hosting the show.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll joke about being a sore loser when he does lose.
Right.
But Jerry, do you think Skyfall?
I think of everything that's nominated, because I think it's very funny that Les Mis, you know, the Les Mis just doesn't work. It just doesn't work, and I think that I think Adele is. We had actually talked about this. Who should they get to, you know, do the song for Skyfall? And we all said Adele. I think we were all in, you know, it was definitely, we were leaning towards that way. And she does a great job. And it's such a great song, they don't even put it on the soundtrack. You have to buy it.
Yeah, that's
separately.
Amazing. That must have been a deal that she made.
No, it's not. It's actually been going on in Casino Royale. Chris Cornell's song wasn't on it either. So,
That
must be just to up the sales of the single.
That's definitely what it is. I mean,
or the downloads of the song. You know.
Yeah.
So let's get to sound. Let's knock these off real quick. So in the last half hour, we can do the five or seven major categories. Jeez, best sound editing. Argo, Django Unchained, Life of Pi, Skyfall, Zero Dark Thirty. Dean, what do you think? Sound editing.
Okay, well, remember, this is sound effects. People forget that it's about sound effects. You know, they used to call this category sound effects editing. And so it really just means, you know, people get confused, which is which, you know. But it's just better if you just remember it's the accumulation of all the effects. And, you know, personally, I would go with Django Unchained here, because I thought that, you know, I just thought the sound in that was just absolutely insanely great. But, you know, when Hurt Locker was up, you know, it took editing and it took sound effects editing as well. So I'm going to go with Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, okay. Zero Dark Thirty. Oh, you threw me for a loop there. Jerry, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Django. And I guess I might as well say, I actually think Hurt Locker is a better film than Zero Dark Thirty, but that's just me.
Well, okay.
But I'm going with Django on this. Although Zero Dark Thirty is an awesome choice, I got to agree with Dean, though, in the sense that, yeah, the sounds are just awesome.
Okay. Tony, what do you think?
I agree with him that Hurt Locker is a much better film than Zero Dark
Thirty. Thank you, Tony.
30, even though Dark Thirty
is a good film.
I can
die now, knowing that you agree with me.
I really like Django Unchained, but I just don't see it getting much momentum, and I think it may not be recognized as much as it should be, and I'm leaning strongly, I guess, to Zero Dark Thirty.
Okay. I'll choose Zero Dark 30 as well. I don't know. Sound effects. What do I know?
By the way, I should point out here, too, that there is yet another Skyfall. There's yet another Skyfall person in here that has been nominated 13 times and never won. And so he's nominated again this year. So that's just a little caveat there.
Okay.
Best Sound Mixing, Argo, Les Mis, Life of Pi, Skyfall, and Lincoln. I'll be controversial. I'll say Les Mis. What about you, Jerry? Jerry?
Hello?
Oh, no. God. This is Sound Mixing? Oh, this is the one that always throws. It's funny, though, because Sound Mixing and Sound Editing, usually they should be, like, normally the same films are. Oh, I'm going to go with Skyfall.
Okay. Dean?
I'm playing favorites tonight. I'm sorry.
Oh, you know, I'm going to go with Life of Pi. You know, I think Life of Pi is going to win, like, 5 awards like Hugo did last year. You know, it's going to win.
We all know how much you love Hugo.
yeah, I love it. But, you know, I think it's going to go that same trajectory where it's going to be repeated a few times and people are going to think it's going to win, but then something else is going to keep it.
And Tony, what do you say?
Are you ever allowed to abstain on this program?
Sure.
I abstained.
Sure.
I have no idea.
Okay. Let me see. Let me get to the next page.
No, that's cowardly. No, that's cowardly. I'll take Django Unchained.
Okay.
Oh, it's not nominated.
No, it's not. That's the problem I was having. I mean, I would go with that.
No, yeah, I'll go Life of Pi just to
okay.
Just to give us a. Just
okay.
Options.
Animated film, Frankenweenie, The Pirates. I think this might be the first time a movie with Weenie in the title has been nominated for an Oscar. The Pirates Band of Misfits.
Jamie, there have been plenty of movies with weenies in them.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah.
This is true. This is very true.
Wreck-It Ralph, Paranorman, and Brave. Best animated. Here they are announcing those nominees.
For Best Animated Feature Film, the nominees are Frankenweenie, Tim Burton. The Pirates, Band of Misfits, Peter Lord. Wreck-It Ralph, Rich Moore. Paranorman, Sam Fell and Chris Butler. And Brave, Mark Andrews and Brenda Chapman.
Okay. The Pixar movie here is Brave, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Frankenweenie. I don't know why. I just have a feeling about Frankenweenie. Jerry,
Here's the thing. Of the three films I've seen Frankenweenie, Paranorman, and I think those two are excellent films. I saw Brave. I think it's the second year in a row that Pixar has released inferior quality film. I like Frankenweenie and Paranorman a lot. I have a feeling the momentum's with Wreck-It Ralph, though.
I love
Frankenweenie, and it's the one chance Burton has to win an Oscar. But I think Wreck-It Ralph is where the momentum is right now.
Dean, do you say the same or no?
Well, Wreck-It Ralph is the best out of the ones I've seen. Three out of the five. I haven't seen Brave or Paranorman, and I watched Band of Misfits the other night, and it was good. It was fun, you know. And I had forgotten that it was done by the guys that did, you know, Wallace and Gromit and so forth. Although it's not a Nick Park film, but I like Wreck-It Ralph the best out of the bunch, but I think it's going to go to Frankenweenie, simply because it's. You know, it's a Tim Burton. You know, it's finally a possibility to get, and not an embarrassing possibility to give.
I think it's the best film. I think it's the best film of his career outside of Edward Scissorhands. So,
Ed Wood. You know,
I actually think this. I like Ed Wood a lot, but I actually think this is like for him the most personal. I think this is the most personal film he ever made.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, it's really good, and, you know, even though it wasn't a big hit at the box office, in fact, I'm sure it's the I'm sure it's the lowest grossing movie out of all five of these, but I think they'll recognize it.
That'd be nice.
Tony, what do you say?
Well, I think the cases that were made for Frankenweenie are very convincing, but I'm more of a pirate than a weenie, so I'm going to be rooting for the Pirates Band of Mystery.
Okay. Best Original Screenplay, Zero Dark Thirty, Django Unchained, Moonrise Kingdom, Amour, and Flight. Flight got in there. Best Original Screenplay. Dean, what do you say here?
Okay, well, you can throw Flight out, and you can throw Django out.
Why Django? Why throw Django?
Why Django? Why? This is the one chance where the creator of this property has a chance to win.
It's too long, and it's I don't know. I think it's a little lazy, and plus it's the revenge thing. We're going over old territory here, but Flight deserves to be in here because it does have an unusual structure and everything, and it hits
it's
a lot of
unusual things.
It's the
Lance Armstrong story.
Well. Whatever. I wouldn't have chosen it. I mean, I would have.
No,
put
I would. It,
here,
it doesn't
but,
deserve to be
but,
in here at all. You talk about lazy. This is definitely then lazy.
Well, I mean, I would have put The Master in here above Flight for sure, and that would have been my choice for.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not nominated, so I can't choose it.
Right.
Moonrise Kingdom, though. So it's really between Amour and Zero Dark Thirty. You know, they like to give occasionally an Oscar to a foreign film in this category or in the screenplay categories, but usually it's an original screenplay. So, you know, I am just going to go out on a limb and say because of the controversy around the screenplay for Zero Dark Thirty, I'm going to go out on a limb and predict Michael Haneke for Amour.
Tony, what do you say here?
Well, since Amour is maybe the all-time favorite to win the Oscar for foreign film, I think he may also get best screenplay. And I agree that the controversy about the screenplay with Zero Dark Thirty, we don't know, especially in the next month, what kind of effect that's going to have. So I'll an outside shot, but I'll pick Amour.
And Jerry?
Well, I think Zero Dark Thirty has a lot of controversy, and the controversy is only growing. It's not going away. It is controversial because either it's telling the truth, uncomfortable truths, or it's not. It doesn't matter. It is. If you watch the film, the first half of the movie is very uncomfortable, regardless of what your political persuasion is. It's a very uncomfortable movie in that regard. Controversy, though, does not shy away from Oscar, though. One of the most controversial films that got is JFK. And that was up for a lot of Oscars when it was up, too. Let's not forget that. And that was far more controversial, I think, in many regards than Zero Dark Thirty.
Well, here's another problem I had with it. I think the character is really skimpy. I think there isn't much characterization. I mean, they're effective. But they're not.
Which, are you talking about Jessica Chastain, Maya?
Yeah.
Okay, let me put it to you like this. I agree with you 100% in that regard. I agree with you about a lot of the criticism with this movie. But let me put it to you like this. Zero Dark Thirty is the greatest Michael Mann film not directed by Michael Mann.
That's true.
And I say that. I don't see that as a slight against Bigelow. I'm just saying, to me, it is the ultimate Michael Mann. I don't even know if Michael Mann could make this movie. Today.
Well, it's because it's a process movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the kind of movie that Michael Mann just so excels at.
Yeah.
But has a Michael Mann writer ever won the Oscar?
No.
No. I think it's between Django and Moonrise Kingdom, quite honestly, because I think...
I mean, Michael Bay.
Well,
no.
Michael Bay, well, I mean... You know, he's
certainly not for writing, no.
Bay's in a class by himself. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Moonrise Kingdom is what. Actually, I'm going to go for Moonrise Kingdom, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm really torn between Moonrise Kingdom and Django. I wouldn't even put Django in this category had he gotten a director's nomination, but since he didn't get the director's nomination, I'm torn between Moonrise and Django, because I think they're both wildly inventive scripts, and there are other original scripts that aren't even in this category that I would put actually over those two.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Django.
Okay. Best Adapted Screenplay: Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, Argo, Life of Pi, Beasts of the Southern Wild. Whew. Tony, what do you think here?
Adapted. I think this is a lock for Kushner.
Yeah.
Lincoln.
Yeah. You agree?
Absolutely.
You agree, Jerry?
I think this is where Lincoln, and they're all worthy. I think we can all agree there. They're all really worthy. But I think this is, I have to agree with Tony, I think this is where Lincoln might see its momentum pick up that night.
That's it. That's right.
Okay, Dean, you agree?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay, so we give Best Adapted Screenplay to the feature-length version of The West Wing. Lincoln.
That's very good.
Best Director.
For Best Achievement in Directing, the nominees are David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook, Ang Lee for Life of Pi, Steven Spielberg for Lincoln, Michael Haneke for Amour, and Ben Zeitlin for Beasts of the Southern Wild.
You notice, like, no response whatsoever when they say Spielberg's name. It's, I mean, Lincoln just feels like such a routine. Like, yeah, of course, yeah, you're going to nominate Lincoln. I mean, I don't feel anyone excited about Lincoln, even though I think it could pick up the biggest awards of the night.
But
yeah.
it's a course that you go to and you just sit there and take it and you get your pay and you're late.
Yeah, that's what I think. You're absolutely right.
I mean, it's a good film. I actually, and if they, and in another year that wasn't so crowded with a lot of great movies, I might actually lean towards it. Here's the thing: that War Horse has been making the rounds on cable. I actually think War Horse is a much more powerful film.
Yeah.
I really do. And I know a lot of people hated it.
It does have more potency. It is more powerful.
Well,
I mean, it's sentimental. It's more sentimental.
Yeah, it's sentimental, but...
But it has a real emotional... It has an emotional effect that Lincoln does not have.
Well, here's the problem I have with Lincoln. It has the same problem I actually think The Master has. It doesn't know where it should end. Lincoln, I think, should end... See, because the whole thing was Lincoln was not... Well, it's not a traditional biopic. When you... If you had ended it where he's walking down the stairs, I would say Lincoln is a damn good movie. But it's the Spielberg curse. He doesn't know when to end things. And then he makes it a traditional biopic. And I think that, what could have been a great movie, just turns into it's a good movie. And it's more, I think, as one of our co-hosts said on Facebook the other night, Chris said, it's a performances movie, really. It's not a director's movie. It's a performance-driven film.
And it's kind of the most un-Spielbergian movie he's made since Schindler's List. I mean, because it's not cinematic, really. And you look to Spielberg for those incredibly – you look to Spielberg for the Life of Pi movie.
Yeah.
Not for the men in closed rooms doing nothing but talking movie.
And it's not a bad movie. That's the thing. It's actually a very interesting movie, but it's – You know, if the year ended when I saw that, I might be more inclined to go with Lincoln. But I saw three superior movies after that. So
I think this could be very interesting because I think the Best Director is what you were talking about recently, Dean. I think Best Director and Best Picture can split, especially since Bigelow isn't nominated. I think just in terms of the size, the scope, and the difficulty, I think that Ang Lee could pick this up for Life of Pi. Thoughts?
No.
You really think they're going to go?
If they were picking Life of Pi, I'd say Ang Lee. But they are not going to pick Lincoln and then pick... I don't think it's possible.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a difficult category, maybe the most difficult category to pick out of all of them, really, because, you know, if Bigelow had gotten in there, I would be on her side like 100%, and I would say this is going to be a year for a split. But with the lineup we have now, Haneke's not going to get it for more. And Ben Franklin's not going to get it for Beasts. So then you're down to three. Okay. Ang Lee, the only problem with the Ang Lee movie is it has, I mean, almost universally, there's been criticism about the bookend pieces that frame the meat of the story, you know, the story of the guy on the raft with the tiger and everything. So I think that there's a problem there. So really, for me, it comes down to, can you imagine a split between Lincoln as the picture and David O. Russell as director for Silver Linings Playbook? Now, let's not forget that David O. Russell directed four people to acting nominations this year. So so that's why I say that it's really down to those two. But I can't see that actual split actually happening. So I have to go with Spielberg for Lincoln, as much of a, you know, blah.
If you go back to the Russell having four people who were nominated, you go back to another director the last time that happened who won the best director and his film didn't, and that was Warren Beatty.
Mm-hmm, right.
Had characters nominated, Maureen Stapleton won in Best Supporting Actress, but he had actors and actresses nominated in all four categories. And that would be a segue or a connection between Russell and
Warren Beatty.
But I still don't think
you still say Lincoln.
It's a good case.
You know, I could see that Ang Lee's Life of Pi fits in the James Cameron Avatar category this
mm-hmm.
year. You know, he achieved the impossible, but we recognized him for it. But you know, that's about it.
Terrific point.
I'm still going to go with it because I'm stubborn, and that's just how I feel. Best Supporting Actor: Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln, Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master, Christoph Waltz for Django Unchained, Alan Arkin for Argo, Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook. I like this category with the exception of Alan Arkin. I think that Alan Arkin is the only, I don't want to say lazy, but the only non-worthy kind of performance in this group. That's my personal opinion, but I think it's going to go to Tommy Lee Jones. I think Tommy Lee Jones brings the life to Lincoln. For me personally, he's the vitality in it.
And you can't this year. The top three, I think the top three choices have all won an Oscar, so you can't say one is due.
All of them.
Well,
actually,
this is the first time in Academy Award history in which all of the nominees are past Oscar winners. So that's kind of an amazing thing right there. I mean, you think that this would have happened before, even like back in the 40s or something, but it's never happened. So that makes handicapping this, you know, a little difficult because you can't rely on those old tropes.
And De Niro's first nomination since Cape Fear in 91.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with De Niro in this.
Okay.
I have to go, you know, boy, this is tough. You know, I am going to go with Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think
the reason for that being that performance kind of, it's basically a lead performance, so if you ask me, or a co-lead. And sometimes those take over in this category, like, you know, I'm thinking Timothy Hutton in Ordinary People, but
right.
You know, I'm going with Hoffman, but Jones could get in there as part of, you know, a mini Lincoln sweep. So,
Well, the one thing too with Jones is he's an asshole, so I don't know how much that. I'm sorry, but you know, he's like not the most gracious person, and I wonder if that fits in to those kinds of decisions. Like,
if
Pesci just walked up and said thank you and then left, and Tommy Lee Jones is so incredibly dry. I wonder if they think this person's not going to be very gracious if we give them the award.
Yeah, but the other thing, what is he? He's selling a big wealth management commercial.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know.
He appeals to all the other assholes.
That's true.
By the way, I think this category, between now and the voting as it takes place, this will be the one that I think they're neck and neck. Maybe Tommy Lee Jones has a nose ahead, but I would think that politicizing advertising may help one more than the other.
Mm.
And I think it's still an open race.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
I do too. There's some great performances in here, and I really do think it's between Jones and Philip Seymour Hoffman. And Hoffman's character definitely is the most fascinating of all of them. He's the most enigmatic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is Hollywood pro or con Scientology?
Yeah.
There's a big article today, by the way, in the L.A. Times about the history and the strength and the power of Scientology in L.A.,
From a book that just that's going to be incredible. Paul Haggis was interviewed
right.
for yeah, that's fascinating me. Supporting actress Anne Hathaway for Les Miserables, which actually everyone that's seen that movie is just more miserable when they walk out.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense. Sally Field for Lincoln, Jackie Weaver for Silver Linings Playbook, Helen Hunt for The Sessions. Amy Adams for The Master. It's good that Amy Adams got in there, Dean. That's good.
Yeah, it's nice.
But we're missing a couple that we wanted, but that's fine.
We're missing, and also supporting actor, we're missing a lot that we wanted, too. So, I mean.
Do we all think that Anne Hathaway's the lock for this category? I guess
no.
No.
I do.
No.
Yes, I do. I think the one moment
movie
that she has is the most popular emotional moment in movies this year.
Mm.
I disagree.
Popular. I mean, effective.
Popular,
order.
But I think it's like the Madonna curse in Evita. It's underproduced. It has no oomph to it. I think this is Sally Field. I think this is Sally Field has this over Anne Hathaway. I would have said before watching Les Mis, I would say Anne Hathaway was a lot. But I actually think she's much better in The Dark Knight Rises than this.
Oh, I do too.
I mean, but
me
I just
too.
Don't see it.
I think
it. I don't see it.
Really was terrific.
Well,
yeah.
Well, let me pipe in here and say that I agree with that she's better than Dark Knight Rises. But remember, I said on another show, but that you know sometimes the winners in categories like this are have another film that they did previous to as part of that year, and I'm thinking like Kevin Spacey when he won for Usual Suspects. Well, he was winning really for Usual Suspects and Seven. They just didn't nominate him for Seven, but he had two performances that year that were big. So that's why I extra go for Anne Hathaway in this, because she's had also two performances this
mm-hmm.
year. So,
well, to back you up, if Chastain won, it will be because she's made 302 movies in the last year.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true also, yeah, I mean.
But if Sally Field wins, I would want to hear her acceptance speech.
Oh,
is she
going to
say,
it.
You really, really, really like me?
I mean, really like her because I'm boozed up.
Okay, I say Anne Hathaway as well. So three for Anne Hathaway, one for Sally Field. Best actor, Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln, Denzel Washington for Flight, Joaquin Phoenix for The Master. There's a brave nomination there.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Hugh Jackman for Les Miserables. Bradley Cooper for Silver Linings Playbook. Interesting. The common consensus is, well, it has to be Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, this is an immersive, chameleon-type performance. But I can see a surprise happening here, actually. And I think if it doesn't go to Day-Lewis...
Are you on your second bottle?
No, actually, I think if it doesn't go to Day-Lewis... It could very well go to Bradley Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
That,
and if the sun doesn't rise, on one side of the country and Moonrise on the other side?
So you think that Daniel Day is an absolute lock?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
It would
absolutely
be an upset if he doesn't. I mean, and he is the movie. Let's be very honest here. He really is the movie. His performance, regardless of what we want to say about the movie itself, his performance is the movie. But I would love to see a Bradley Cooper upset. More than that, I would love to see Joaquin Phoenix, who is the master. When he's not in the master, I think the movie loses a lot. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix is the heart and soul of the master.
It is the most unique performance of the year for me. Yeah,
it's absolutely the A number one performance.
Denzel,
the one you haven't really seen much
in this category. Denzel Washington's performance, I'm sorry, Flight is a big disappointment for me, and it's a good performance from Denzel Washington, but it's not Oscar worthy. I'm sorry.
Right.
It's just not.
It's really too bad that Jean-Louis Trintignant didn't get in here, too.
He should totally be in here.
I don't get it why Emmanuel Riva is in there but not Trintignant. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But that's just the way the narrative went in the whole season.
Spoiler alert. She died.
Real? Wait a second. Are you sure about that? I just watched some. Sorry.
Well, you could make a case that he dies in it too, but
we're really giving this whole film away.
I think everybody knows about that.
I think you're absolutely right. I think everyone does know, given the subject matter, that this film does not have that kind. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Lincoln is the lockiest of locks of all the locks that have ever been locked.
Beautiful.
I've never seen cheese with that.
That's a very, very Edgar Allan Poe. We loved with a love that was more than love, Dean. That was great. Okay, but I'm telling you, in my opinion, they might say, okay, Daniel Day has already won two. Let's give it to Bradley Cooper. I'm the one to say it. So if it happens, I want credit.
Well, no, okay. I agree. I would be happy with that. But you could have said the same thing when As Good As It Gets came out. Now, even though it was a Best Actor for Jack Nicholson, he won two supporting acts,
right.
That was still a lot of people. I mean, we were kind of expecting him, but we weren't.
I remember thinking that was a surprise when that happened, by the way.
If you're going to get credit for this big upset, if he doesn't win, I think you should say, occasionally you speak nonsense on the show.
That's all they say about me, Tony. I speak nonsense. So
I'm the first one to admit that. Let's go to Best Actress. Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark Thirty. I still say that Zero Dark Thirty sounds like the name of a beer.
Are you buying?
Naomi Watts for The Impossible. Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook. Cuvazon Wallace, what is it, Dean?
Cuvazon Wallace.
Okay. For Beasts of the Southern Wild, Emmanuel Riva for Amour. I know. What's the odd person in this category? Is it the 9-year-old or is it Naomi Watts?
Naomi Watts, definitely.
It's actually, I beg to differ. I'd actually say Jessica Chastain.
Wow.
What? Why?
I like Jessica Chastain a lot. I actually think it's not the great performance. I think, at least for me, I was led to believe. I actually think Naomi Watts is very good in The Impossible, and I expect
Chastain
her to be enough.
May be getting a body of work.
I think you're right there, but I think this is really. And as much as I think Jennifer Lawrence is deserving for missing her in Winter's Bone, and she's excellent in this. This is between the youngest and the oldest nominee.
Mm.
I honestly believe that. If Chastain wins for this, it's a shame because I just don't think it's. I think it's a good performance. I don't think it's a great performance. I really do believe that.
So I know, Tony, you had problems with the performance too in Zero Dark Thirty, because she didn't really portray the killer that
I admire Jennifer Lawrence. I just have this nagging feeling that she may not win and Chastain might beat her, deserving or not. I would still say Jennifer Lawrence, but I think Chastain, of all the nominees, is the most live underdog. But I agree that it's not a great performance, but she certainly carried her weight in the film.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm not saying that. I mean,
no, I know you're not. I'm trying to say, I think they could vote for her and still and not feel guilty about it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Dean, you think it's Jessica?
No, I'm sticking with Jennifer Lawrence because, you know, I mean, Jessica Chastain is great in that movie, I think. And I think that she was perfectly cast. I know, Tony, you had some problems thinking that you know, Rooney Mara, their first choice, might have been better. But I think that would have been a safer choice because everybody now, after Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, expects Rooney Mara to kick everybody's ass. But that's not – I just don't see her allowing herself to be pigeonholed in that category.
The character in Homeland, Carrie, has characterization to spare. I mean, she comes off the screen, she's got so much characterization. And I don't see much characterization in her role at all.
I think the most telling scene in the whole movie is when James Gandolfini's talking to her in the cafeteria, and I think and asking her about her life and everything, and I think that's the most telling scene about the Maya in the whole movie.
Well, essentially, she has no life.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the point of the scene.
She's a female Vincent Hanna.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really what she is. I think it's a good performance, but I think compared to Lawrence's performance, but I really do think this might be the year that they, and I think Naomi Watts is very good in The Impossible. I don't care what anybody says. I think she and Ewan McGregor, I think that's actually a very good performances movie. Ewan McGregor is very good in that as well.
How would you compare Naomi Watts to Marion Cotillard in Rust and Bone?
Well, I was surprised she wasn't nominated. I do not hate Rust and Bone as much as everyone else did. I actually thought she was very good. I think that killer whale obviously was friends with Bruce Wayne and was really pissed off with her, you know, and went after her. But I thought her performance was very good. And I think I'm really kind of surprised at people going after Rust and Bone because it's directed by a superb director who made two excellent movies before this. Yeah, A Prophet and The Beat that my heart Skipped, which is a remake of Fingers, for crying out loud. Superb. I think her performance I was surprised because I had to do a double take because I actually thought I heard her name mentioned, and I was like, oh my God, she didn't get nominated because that was a sure thing, supposedly. But I would have been happy with that, but I like Watts' performance too, but I think it might really be between the youngest and the oldest here.
Which one?
Emmanuel. Okay, the oldest. Okay. Yeah. I'll go with Jennifer Lawrence. So I'm going with Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper for the acting categories. Isn't that something?
No, that's awesome. I mean, they're great.
Okay. Best Picture. Final category. Here are the nominees. Zero Dark Thirty, Silver Linings Playbook, Lincoln, Les Miserables, Life of Pi, Amour, Django Unchained, Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild. Okay, Tony, we'll go with you first.
Well, one of the things that's interesting to me is that films that came out at the beginning of the year are forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Knight Rises didn't get a single award. The Avengers only got one award. The Hunger Games got nothing.
Right.
And I think she was as good, Jennifer Lawrence is as good in The Hunger Games as she was in the Silver Linings Playbook.
I agree, and that's, by the way, that supports my thing that why she's going to win, because she's got those two movies, and I agree, she's just as good in Hunger Games as she was in Silver Linings.
I'm
surprised
that
it didn't get any mention. I mean, it seems like the Academy these days, I know they're getting older, but they even have less attention spans than they used to.
Everything that
comes out before October or before November.
Yeah. Can I ask a question about
You do have Argo and Beasts of the Southern Wild. Argo came out in like September,
October,
and then and Beasts of the Southern Wild came out like in February. So.
And this is also four of these are $100 million plus gross.
Yeah. Let me ask a question though about The Dark Knight Rises. The reason that we have more than five picture nominees is because the second film, The Dark Knight, got screwed out of a Best Picture nomination. Here we have the possibility of 10 nominations. We get, what, 9 nominations? You could find it in your heart to give The Dark Knight Rises and not just at least throw it a bone, a Best Picture nomination. You couldn't do that. And let me ask, is it because of the shooting? Is it because... No, seriously, Dean, this is something to take into consideration here. Is it that it's always going, or at least for the next couple of years, it's going to have that it's tainted somewhat?
That's an interesting thought, one I hadn't even thought of. But the other films of that time, or of the first half of the year, weren't mentioned either.
The Gray wasn't mentioned.
I mean, Hunger Games
might have gotten,
was that also because of the violence?
If it's because of the violence and you have Django and Zero Dark Thirty in the best, I don't think it's not so much the violence. I think the Dark Knight, because of that,
the bottom line is they're never, ever, ever, ever in the history of mankind are never going to nominate a movie that's based on a comic book. Period. End of story. Never going to happen.
If they nominate Man of Steel, I'm coming after you, Dean.
That's not going to happen either.
Okay.
It's never going to happen. Underline
okay.
it.
Put I it think, in yellow. I think it's
never
I
going
think
to happen.
If there are 10 nominees the year that Dark Knight came out, I think Dark Knight would have been nominated. I think the main reason why Dark Knight Rises wasn't nominated is because the common consensus is it's not as good a movie as The Dark Knight for
that's
most
it.
People.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so did Tony, did you say what you...
No, I'm going on record in the first 3 minutes of, of thinking that Lincoln was...
Okay.
Almost a lock. It was. It is a lock. I see so many things in its favor, and I want to stress this or emphasize, especially if somebody's just turned it on, that it's affected all audiences. It's affected people who really don't go to the movies anymore, and this picture brought them back, and that kind of universality, I think. Is very much a strong point in its effectiveness,
mm-hmm.
in the ultimate reward. And I also think, as some other people have suggested, that there's not a whole lot of like last year, I was blown away by Melancholia. Now, it didn't get an award, but there was that was a work of art.
I agree.
No film here in this whole list that I think in 10 years will be in any conversation. So I go Lincoln.
There may be some truth to that, I think.
I disagree with that. I think, you know, I do think that a more will be looked on as, like, you know, when they when they make the...
But I think it's still esoteric. It is a classic film. It will be a classic film. I'm not a believer in instant classics like Rich Reed is. But it will be a classic because it has done what has seldom, if ever, done before, and it has done it extremely well. You're right.
I think that Lincoln will win Best Picture, and I actually think that no one will be very excited about it. I think this will be one. It would almost feel like an obligation for the voters. And I think out of the 6,000 plus in the voting academy, I think the average age is something like 56 or something.
But the other thing, excuse me for interrupting you. I mean, the artist. Who remembers the artist?
Yeah. Thank you.
Who remembers Slumdog Millionaire?
Well, I remember Slumdog more than I remember the artist, but
yeah.
I agree with you. Tony, you bring up a lot of good points, and also Melancholia was my favorite film of last year. I think Lincoln is the safest film that's up there. And let's be very honest, I'm watching a movie and all I can think about is Obama during the movie. During the trailer especially. I don't mean that as a
that's definite plus.
Yeah, to me, the movie's more about Obama than it is Lincoln, as far as I'm concerned. I like the movie, but the more I think about it, it's not like, I can't wait for this to come out in Blu-ray. But I do think Lincoln
You don't think it's a great movie, right?
Let me put it to you like this. I think Spielberg has better luck with historical films lately than he does with popcorn movies. I do think Lincoln, along with Munich and War Horse, is better than a lot of his stuff that we would put in the big blockbuster category. I think this is where his strength is. But as far as those historical movies go, I think Munich is the best thing he's done in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I agree.
Munich is just powerful. It's not black and white. It is not black and white at all. It is very gray. I like War Horse, but War Horse is, you know, very sentimental, as you say. It has a lot of emotional pull. Lincoln has it at times, but when it does have it, then there are things I think that does that kill it, though. When it does have those emotional moments, it doesn't know when to end. It has the problem, the traditional Spielberg problem. He doesn't know when to leave well enough alone.
But you think it'll win Best Picture?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that's just, you know, Tony said it best with the medium, or whoever said about the medium age of the voters. This is it. I'm surprised Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter didn't get nominated with the problems they were having with the voting.
Yeah, that's true. I voted for the wrong Lincoln movie.
My take on the whole Lincoln thing is that, you know, I said when 2 years ago or 3 years ago when I first heard it was in production, I said, that's going to win Best Picture. And I thought it was going to come out next year, and I said, this is next year's Best Picture winner. But it took 2 years for it to come out. I've only wavered on this once, very briefly, but you know, I've always maintained that, you know, if a movie called Lincoln is up for Best Picture, they're not going to be able to live with themselves not giving it Best Picture. They just, you know, when you see that, you know how they come out with a poster every year and the Oscars, you know, show all the past Best Picture winners and everything like that. You know, you got to have a movie called Lincoln winning Best Picture. You know, you just have to have it, even if it's just a half. You know, in my opinion, it's not as good as it should have been, and it probably shouldn't have been called Lincoln. It should have been called Team of Rivals, because then we would have gotten. I think our problem with the film Lincoln, you know, comes down to sometimes. I think it comes down to a thing of marketing, an issue of marketing. They didn't call it Team of Rivals because everybody would have gone, what is that? You know, and here's Lincoln. It's on the poster, but it's called Team of Rivals. That would have been strange. So they had to call it Lincoln. You know, when you have, you know, it's just, to me, it's like, it's just a done deal. You know?
Can I add something, though, to this film? We're talking about how well-liked it. There's one group of people who do not like the film that much, and that's African-Americans. They're not crazy about the film. I was listening to is Washington Watch with Roland Martin, and he interviewed a historian from Howard University. While they agree, and I agree with him, the acting is wonderful, the performances are great and everything, the blacks in the movie are cardboard cutout characters. They really don't really exist.
I said my review.
That first scene is pretty much of an embarrassment, if you ask me.
That is a problem that, you know, in all seriousness, Django Unchained is the honest movie about the about, you know, as far as slavery goes.
The ugliness of slavery. Yeah, yeah. I agree completely. Tony, what were you about to say?
I was just going to say, in my review, I said that Spielberg uses black people like product placement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some truth to that. I mean,
I don't know if that contingency, I don't know what percentage of the Academy is African American, but I don't think it'll keep Lincoln from winning.
No, I don't. I'm just saying that's something I just heard recently.
I think all the other nominees are a slave to Lincoln. That's my metaphor.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That's what we're going to be famous for, Jamie.
It would have been too perfect if the Master had been nominated for Best Picture right alongside Lincoln.
But going back to the Master, we thought the Master would be nominated in every category back in before it came out. We thought that was the front runner going into the
I know that movie Fall from Grace is just one of the strangest movie stories of the entire year. If you ask me, it's just it gets 3 acting nominations, but I don't know. Why is it not in screenplay? Why is it not in photography? Why is it not in Best Picture? Even director, and also original score.
That's the thing where I think it's, I agree.
That just blows my mind.
Yeah.
It's a great score, beautiful score.
Okay, so those are all the categories, and those are all of our early predictions. Tony, my friend, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
And guys, I really enjoyed it. Thank you for
thank you for joining us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.
And we'll close tonight with an Oscar-nominated song. I don't know which one. Which one should I do, guys?
Do the Chasing Ice song. That's beautiful.
Okay,
a lot of people might not be
show
familiar with that.
That'll be great. That'll be like our show is turned into a moor all of a sudden. Let's end it with a suicide song. That's great.
It's a really, really sweet song, though. It's beautiful.
Okay, I'll end it with that. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Good night.
All right, see you later.
Bye-bye.
My time has come.